Welcome to Written Voices, everyone. I'm Alan Hunken, your host. The book is called The Night Journal, a novel by Elizabeth Crook. Elizabeth was born in Houston and has lived in Texas, Australia, and Washington, D.C. She comes from a family of journal keepers and has always been fascinated by what is revealed in journals and what is hidden. She is the author of two previous novels, both edited by Jackie Kennedy Onassis, The Raven's Bride, which is 1991, and Promised Lands, 1994. And she's had work appear in Texas Monthly and Southwest Historical Quarterly. She lives in Austin, Texas, with her husband and two children, and she joins us from Austin today. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Alan.
Great to have you on the program. The Night Journal. Let's hear all about it. First of all, when did you start writing it?
I started writing this book more than 10 years ago. I'm sort of embarrassed about how long it's taken, but I just usually have to grope my way through these stories. They don't, the first draft never resembles the last draft, and so I write them so many times before they're acceptable that it just takes a long time.
Oh, you are a brave, brave woman. You know, I love writing, but I don't like rewriting, and I guess that'll never make me a writer because I hear that a lot, that it starts out and then there's just a lot of work to change it around and move it around and be happy with it.
Well, huh? I actually think of myself as more of a rewriter than a writer because I spend more of my time rewriting than writing. And I love that process because your material is there, your ideas are, you know, somewhat formed, and it's a matter of perfecting everything, and there's something sort of exciting and liberating about, you know, getting rid of all the stuff that doesn't work and focusing on the parts that do.
And in the parts that do, what is The Night Journal all about?
Well, The Night Journal is about, it actually takes place in two different time periods. There's a contemporary time period, and in the contemporary part, we have a 37-year-old woman who has been sort of in flight from this oppressive family legacy of this famous great-grandmother who left these very elaborate and exciting journals of her life on the southwestern frontier. And Meg, our present-day character, feels, I think, as if she is kind of a paler version of, you know, her ancestors, and that her life it could never have the drama or the texture that Hannah, her great-grandmother's life, had. And so she has refused to read these journals and has kind of gone about her life ignoring the past. And her grandmother, who is Hannah's daughter, Hannah is the one who wrote the journals, and her daughter, Bassie, edited these journals and made them famous. She's a very famous historian now. And she wants Meg to read these journals. And eventually, in the course of the story, because they end up going to New Mexico where all of this happened and digging up an area where Hannah had buried some of her dogs, basically, and finding in those graves things that they had not expected to find, and therefore kind of throwing into doubt everything that's written in the journals. Because of all of that, Meg is then forced to confront the family legacy and how it pertains to her and affects her image of herself. And so really there are two stories. There's Hannah's story in the past. There's Meg's story in the present, Meg and Bassie. And Bassie's an old woman at this point, and Meg is, you know, in her 30s, and Hannah is long dead. And it's really about the idea of legacy and how, you know, people live their lives a certain way, and then they leave this record of themselves that becomes, because of omissions, because of, you know, sort of the editing process of life, you know, records that are lost, things that are destroyed, it becomes a very arbitrary record and an inaccurate picture of that person. And so the idea behind the book is, what would it be like if we could really go back and get to know our ancestors and put their lives together in a way that is realistic and not just sort of the picture that has been handed down either through, you know, stories that some great aunt remembered or a few photographs, you know, that lose their clarity. And so, you know, if we could really go back and know these people, how would we then feel about ourselves? I think as a generation, we often feel that we are kind of a watered-down version of these much stronger individuals from the past. And, you know, I'm not sure if that's right. And the book doesn't really pass a judgment on whether this is an accurate perception of, you know, of our generation. But it does follow Meg through this journey of being able to go back and resurrect her great-grandmother in a way that is more realistic than the portrayal that her great-grandmother actually left of herself, the journals.
And you write journals yourself?
Well, actually, no. My grandmother kept very extensive journals, And my mother kept journals, but I have always found this idea of self-censorship unnerving because, you know, if you take out all the things that you should take out because you don't want your kids to read them or they're just sort of unsavory in some way, then your life is reduced and it's not a real picture and the distortion can make a life seem very dull. If you're recording, you know, what time you got up and you did this and, you know, you consumed so many calories or whatever it is, just not the real picture of the inner life. And so to me, if you can't get the real picture down there or you shouldn't get the real picture down there, why leave it at all? So what I do is I have a friend who's a correspondent. He actually used to be an editor at William Morrow. And I write emails to him that have a lot to do with my life and my kids. But there's just the right amount of self-censorship in those letters where I'm not going to tell everything, but I'm going to tell enough that it will be of interest to my kids when they grow up. It's really for them. But that question of, you know, for whom are we writing haunts the whole idea of journal keeping. Because if it's for yourself, to me that seems not satisfying enough. It's a lot of time and energy to put into something that you may not ever even go back and look at. If it's for, you know, somebody else, you have to be able to define who is that person and how much do you need to leave out in order for that person to read this and gain from it rather than just kind of being bored by it.
Well, it certainly speaks to that question that happens to us all the time, you know, where did we come from? Why do we think the way we do? And often you'll be having a thought and you go, you know, where did that thought come from? You know, and I have a kind of a special connection with this idea, of course, because I was adopted. So a lot of the things that other people have, like histories of family members and and legends, I don't have any of those things. Mm-hmm. So the only reference I have to why do I think this way is myself. And I guess that's why I spent the last 35 years studying psychology.
I can see that. And so how do you fill in those gaps?
Well, you make it up as you go along, just like everybody else. No, I think what you do is you accept that it's coming from somewhere and then explore it from the present day.
Right, and I'm not sure that knowing where it comes from is always that enriching. You know, I mean, there are many people that have, you know, ancestors that don't inspire or that are an embarrassment. And I think that that's something else that people have to deal with sometimes that is not beneficial in the whole arena of legacies. And but I've always found, I mean, it's interesting because the things that captivate you about your own ancestors can be so. I have a great, great, great grandmother who all I have is the one picture of her. And I know that she died in childbirth and that because she died, she was in her 20s, her husband and her son came to Texas, and that's how they ended up homesteading in Zavala County and because of her death. And so there's something about her that is very compelling to me about this one photograph. I don't have anything she wrote. I don't know anything about what she was like. But that one photograph, and in some ways it seems as if the less we know, the more the possibilities are out there and the more compelling they become because there's a mystery. And everybody's inspired by mysteries. And I think that's why we're usually not as fascinated with the lives of our parents because we know pretty much about the lives of our parents. But our parents' parents become a little more obscure, though we still knew them. But two or three more generations removed, any little bit of information becomes interesting because that person is a mystery to us. So I would think, like in your situation where you have a really big mystery, I would think that that would be invigorating to some extent.
Well, I think it is, too. Absolutely. The other experience I had in and around this, and I just love the idea of this book, The Night Journal, is that every family is a novel. When I was taking my counselor training, it was a whole year. The program was a year long. There was 35 of us, and we studied what's called the Enneagram system, which means that it's like it's a schematic of your family, but it keeps track of different things more than a family tree. It keeps track of things like who showed up at the funerals and who didn't and why, and who showed up at the weddings and why. And this is a tool that counselors use. And then at the end of the year, we all had to present our family system to all the other students in the class. This is called the Clear Mind Institute is where I took this.
Uh-huh.
And what you find out is that all of this legacy, every family is a novel, the most intriguing mystery novel you'll ever read.
Always. It's always true. And I think there's nothing more interesting. And that's really what the book is about. It's about the family and how, not only how the individuals in the immediate family relate to each other, but how they relate to the people in the past and to the reputations of the people in the past and the legacies. And so it becomes a sort of extended family in a way. And you feel the presence of all those people, even though within the context of the story, many of them are already dead. And so I don't know, I love that whole sense of the family connections and how and we relate to each other and why and what buried motives are there. And one of the things that was so interesting to me about doing the research for this, in the course of the book, Hannah, who is my character from the past, she dies of tuberculosis. And that's not giving anything away. I mean, the reader knows that up front. But so I had to do a lot of research about tuberculosis. My great-grandfather died of tuberculosis. And because he had tuberculosis, that's why his part of the family came here to Texas, was to recover by being exposed to the high, dry air of the Texas Hill Country. And so through the course of research, I really got to know what it was he went through. And before that, he had been sort of reduced in my mind as this single statement, my great-grandfather died of tuberculosis. But when I was researching the book, I got to know what that meant and what the family suffered and how incredibly poignant that was. So it gave a real life to him, in my mind, that he had not otherwise had. And that is always one of the gifts of researching and writing a book like this, is that there are all these hidden ways in which you find out more about your own past. And that's, I don't know, I find that very interesting.
Elizabeth, do you have a website for your work?
Yes, it's ElizabethCrookBooks.com.
That's pretty darn easy. ElizabethCrookBooks.com. It's been 10 years in the making, and we're all just delighted that you're back in the saddle again writing, and that this book, The Night Journal, is out. All the very, very best of good fortune with it.
Well, thank you so much, Alan. I really appreciate it.
It's been great to have you on the program. This is Alan Hunken for Written Voices. Thanks very much for listening. Bye for now.